Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for all the answered prayers that came in this week, the opening up of your word, and blessing us with opportunities to share things with people in regards to what they're planning to do out there, even before they do it. And so thank you for opening up the prophecies as well. Please bless us with your presence as we gather here on Sabbath. Please bless everyone with answered prayers, all those on our prayer list and those that were mentioned during the children's study, as well as the ones being mentioned now. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us that much, that even the small prayers or the big ones, you hear them all. Please bridle my tongue, or any tongue that may speak, so that you alone are glorified. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And thank you again, Father, for the changing of the showbread. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you notice in the stream, I've been posting this. I'm going to post it again right there. Major announcement regarding Sunday laws after the sermon. This is something that we've been warning people about for a few months that they're going to do. And it doesn't surprise me one bit that the SDA Church didn't catch this first. Or would they ever? Who knows? Because they're saying there's no Sunday laws in the pipeline, but you might want to stick around for the end of the church service after the sermon, probably around 2:15, 2:30, who knows. And then I'm going to share something with you. Brother Sean made a video. I think he uploaded it this morning. I'll be sharing a link to that too. And please, if you know anybody that needs to have some understanding as to what's going on in the world and what's coming quickly, let them know to be here later on, or have them come now. It's not going to kill them to hear some truth. So anyway, last Sabbath, we left off at looking into the differences between the law of God and the law of Moses. Many believe the law contained in ordinances, as mentioned in Ephesians 2:15, was in fact the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. But if you dig a little more into the Word, we find another verse used by the uneducated to preach the law abolished. As a matter of fact, I got a page on the website literally called, "Is the Law Abolished?" I think I made a video about it too. But this verse actually helps us prove they are in error quite easily. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. I use this, I don't know how many times on the street over the years, over the phones, in the emails, on YouTube. And it makes it easy, okay? And they literally think this is talking about the Ten Commandments. But when you read this in context, you see, no, this is not the Ten Commandments. And so it says in verse 14 to 17, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us." The law of God is not against us, unless, of course, you start breaking it. "Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." That's why Jesus says, "It is finished." But he wasn't talking about the Ten Commandments. Going on, it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And then Paul says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Sorry about the noise you're going to hear in the background. They're building windmills all around us. Like these, man, that's loud. But he's pulling some heavy equipment. So anyway, is it the Ten Commandments that are being spoken of in this passage? I mean, if so, why are there ordinances being mentioned here? I mean, is it not written in Galatians 3:19 that these ordinances were added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made? I mean, that means the ordinances are to be temporary, or as Paul put it, until the seed should come. And the word till denotes they will be done away with at some time in the future. And keep in mind, well, actually in the past for Paul, but as it was starting out, when Christ was still walking among us, it was still a future event for these ordinances to be taken away. And keep in mind, this passage is speaking about ordinances after the law was already written in stone. Well, actually, even after the law was already written in the hearts of angels, because the angels kept the Ten Commandments before the Lord even gave it to Moses on Sinai. And Abraham kept it before Moses ever got the law, too. Yeah, Adam and Eve kept it. All they, the people that lived in the, before, well, not all of them. That's why the flood came. But Noah and his family kept it, the Ten Commandments. And so reading the word as it was written, one can see that it's rather blunt here as to why the ordinances were added. The sinfulness of the people required the addition of the ordinances. You know, had they kept the law as the obedient angels did, they would be governed from their hearts in the law. And so, because of sin, a remedy was needed to help those that did in fact choose to sin. You know, this is why it says they were added only till the seed should come. And who was this seed? Well, look at Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Pretty blunt. I mean, the ordinances were added to prepare the people for the first arrival of Christ. Because when he comes and he hangs on that cross, that's it for those ordinances. And it was something that personified the miraculous removal of sin. You know, by obedience to the ordinances, the people of God showed their faith in the coming Messiah, who would free them from their sins and would actually fulfill the ordinances in reality. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the ordinances were no longer needed because he fulfilled them all. And sin finally found the long prophesied and eternal remedy, capital R, remedy for forgiveness. That remedy is Christ. You know, they kept the ordinances to proclaim their faith back then, that there would come a day when the ordinances would all be fulfilled by a Messiah, and their sins would then be forgiven. This is why they were killing those little sheep all that time, those little lambs of God, because the Lamb of God that John the Baptist talked about in John 1:29, he was going to show up and be that sacrifice. I mean, this is why Satan has many people claiming we must keep the feast days to this day. He is doing all he can to make people question what happened at Calvary. Now, some people might think, oh, no, I believe what happened at Calvary, but I still keep the feast days. Well, eventually, I mean, a little tiny lie, as long as the devil's got a toehold on you, he can eventually work that up to the foot and then get the leg. That's all he goes for. He knows if you can embrace one doctrine he made up, he can get you on the next one. I mean, it's what's going on in today's world. And so he's doing all he can to make the people question what happened at Calvary, as well as accept him as Messiah when he finally arrives on earth claiming to be Jesus Christ. And when's he going to do that? Well, right when we start going out there with that loud cry. Not right when. I mean, right when the churches start emptying. Because all those preachers of filthy lucre with their 501c3s are going to get a little upset that their silk-lined pockets are starting to get empty. They're in it for the money. They make merchandise of the people, as the prophecy said. And so by keeping the feast days now, you're actually proclaiming Messiah has yet to come to fulfill those ordinances. Seriously, he said it was finished on that cross. I mean, the fact they belittle his prophesied sacrifice on that cross 2,000 years ago by keeping the feast days that pointed to Calvary in the first place confirms they will easily accept Satan as Messiah. Because once Satan has you embracing one lie that is easily exposed in Scripture, if you just study it properly, he can get you to believe the next lie as well. The ordinances were a series of laws that Moses penned to prepare the people for the things to come, as well as an outline on what to do and what not to do till the seed should come. Exodus 18:20 actually says this. Exodus 18:20. and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do. So there's your separation right there. The ordinances and the Ten Commandments are two different things. I actually did a video about that and showed where's the differences here. Moses' law was ended at the cross. The Ten Commandments is eternal. I mean, it's the law of the land in New Jerusalem. So did you notice that, how can the law be the same as an ordinance and vice versa? I mean, they're separated here in that verse. I mean, the fact is, the word ordinance is not the same as the word law at all. I mean, did you notice that in verse 16 of Colossians 2, it states, like what we read a moment ago, that you should let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink? The word therefore in this passage denotes that it is speaking of the previous topic of the ordinances. Since this is a basic understanding of simple grammar, I have to ask, where in the Ten Commandments does it speak of meat and drink offerings? Nowhere. The ceremonial law, or the commandments contained in ordinances as written by Moses, is the one that speaks volumes on meat and drink laws in Leviticus 23. So it is impossible that the ordinances and the Ten Commandments are the same thing, as many claim, when they say the law contained in ordinances means the Ten Commandments were abolished at the cross. And also notice that nowhere in the Ten Commandments do you see any mention of holy days or new moons, as this passage declares is part of the ordinances. Pretty clear. I mean, it's truly that easy to explain, if given the chance, though. I mean, it also shows how studying the Bible daily will prevent us from being drawn in by false doctrine. I mean, studying the Word daily is how we put on that armor that protects us in the holy war of words that we're in right now. So this stuff is not going to stop till that eastern sky splits. I mean, the ordinances speak of the rituals performed by the obedient people before Messiah came the first time, who would then actually fulfill those events symbolized in the ordinances up to and on that cross. And Jesus even declared back then, like I said a moment ago, that it was finished on the cross. Romans 19:30 clearly says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, and if you look in the other areas of the Gospels, you'll see the word receive here is kind of like a mistranslation because he refused it. When it touched his lips, he realized it was vinegar and it was unclean. He wasn't going to drink it. So when that event happened is more or less what it's saying. It says that he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I mean, to further confirm, it is finished. When it came to the temple services or commandments contained in ordinances, what else happened that day when Jesus said, it is finished? That further confirms the feast days performed in the temple were abolished. Because you really can't keep these feast days properly without three of them being kept in the temple. It says this in Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Think about that. Now we've studied this veil. This isn't a sheet like a bed sheet hanging between the or even a towel, or even a thick towel, or even a bunch of thick towels. This thing was a massive curtain where it took a lot of men to carry it and raise it. And it had metal wires of gold entwined, you know, embroidered into it. This thing was massive. It was a heavy, heavy curtain. No man's going to rip that. A man can rip a bed sheet, but he ain't ripping this thing. An angel had to do that. And so the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27 was at that moment fulfilled. Because it says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And then it goes on to say that he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I mean, to summarize quickly what was revealed to the church at that time in Acts 15, circumcision was an act that cut off a portion of the flesh to symbolize giving of oneself to God by denying the sinfulness of the flesh. And we all know about the flesh and how much it tempts us to do things we shouldn't do, right? Jesus was Messiah, and as Daniel stated, he was to be cut off for the sins of the people. The way Daniel spoke, as he did in this prophecy regarding Jesus, as well as any prophet before or after him, proves the Old Testament people were just as much believers in Jesus as the New Testament people were. They just didn't know his name yet as Jesus. I mean, they had Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. They had a lot of different names for the Lord himself. I mean, I got a page on the website all about that, because there's a group of people out there declaring, it's called the Sacred Name Movement, where you got to use just one name or you're going to hell. I said, well, then you got a lot of Bible verses to rip out, because there's an awful lot of different names for our Heavenly Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit that declare things that they were going to do. It describes how they are. But anyway, getting back to all the meat and drink and holy days, new moons, and these Sabbaths that Colossians 2 speaks of, all of them were abolished at the cross because Jesus fulfilled them perfectly. And by the way, the Sabbaths mentioned in Colossians here are not, Colossians 2, are not the weekly Sabbath of the Lord. Because right off the bat, we know this isn't talking about the Ten Commandments, where the Sabbath is mentioned in number 4. Exodus 8, verses 20 to 11, right? And so you know this can't possibly be talking about the weekly Sabbath, because if you read Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, you're not going to see anything about meat, drink, holy days, or new moons. Although there's a lunar Sabbath movement out there, too. Why? Well, because the enemy of souls, the dying God of this world, sees these people that have zeal for God, and he's going to just misdirect them so as to get them off the path, because he doesn't want them going out there preaching what we preach, present truth. He doesn't want them going out there doing that. So get them busy thinking that Jesus and God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't exist. Get them busy thinking about feast days. Get them busy thinking about flat earth or lunar Sabbath or whatever. That way they'll think they're doing something for the Lord, when in fact they're actually doing something for Satan. And they're not doing it for the Lord. That way he can't use them. Prophecy itself confirms the feast days ceased at the time of the cross. As we just read, in the midst of the week, 3.5 years after Jesus was baptized, the temple veil ripped in two. So that's right in the middle of the week, what it's called Daniel's week, the week of Daniel. At that exact moment, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, spoke from his very own lips that it is finished. Now think about this as well. There were no Jewish feast days before the Exodus from Egyptian bondage, were there? Now, Abraham did what he did and all that, but no, there weren't any. And according to prophecy as well as scripture, speaking of the time of fulfillment, they ended when Jesus finished what he came to do for you and me, as well as for all those that keep those feast days in faith before Calvary arrived in history. Because they were added because of the transgressions. Just as we saw, just as he was cut off from the cross for our sins, the blood on the doorposts in Egypt also confirmed his blood was to be shed to lead us out of bondage. But again, they missed that because they were apostate. The Jews were in apostasy, and so the devil had control. There's no way you're going to understand prophecy without obeying that God that wrote it. That's why you see what's going on today with the SDA church. And the reason I mention them is because they had Capernaum. They had the gift of prophecy. They had the understanding. But then they went disobedient. But that too was prophesied. It's in Matthew 20 verses 1 to 7 and Revelation 12, 17. But back then, in Egypt, they were led out of slavery in an atheistic land. That's why Egypt is used in the prophecies as the symbol for atheism. And so at the cross, when the literal blood of the Lamb of God was spilled, we were all led out of slavery of sin while in a godless walk. A lot of people think they got to get all squeaky clean before they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I said, no. As a matter of fact, my wife and I and my son are, every night we read from certain books, and right now we're reading Christ Our Righteousness. It's a sermon that was shared in 1888 that the SDA Church rejected. It also exposes the Trinity thing, the one God, the people that preach one God. It also looks, and I think that's the reason for that sermon, because he keeps on bringing it up. But how I ask, does one keep Passover now when the blood of the Lamb was already spilled 2,000 years ago? I mean, five Sabbaths that are defined as feast days of the Lord are in a 22-day period. It's right there in Leviticus. So how I ask, can this passage, which coincides with Colossians chapter 2, be speaking of the seventh-day Sabbath? I mean, you cannot get weekly Sabbaths in a 22-day period. 7 times 7 is 49, not 22. It can't be done. So if you got a 22-day period and there's 5 Sabbaths, but you got to know this is not an annual Sabbath. It's not a weekly Sabbath. They're annual Sabbaths, or feast days like we call them today. So the fact is, if the law contained in ordinances is the same as the law contained in stone, then I ask for all those stating as such to share the commandment within the law that speaks of meat and drink offerings, or holy days, or new moons for that matter. I mean, I guess I can close with this, because I got a little thing here I want to share anyway, so I may as well just share this and just end it here. Do you want the ordinances explained bluntly in New Testament theology? Because I've used this before, and it seems to work for some. It says this in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 and then verse 10. It says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation." Until the time of reformation. So even if the people think this is the Ten Commandments, even though we know this is talking about feast days, it's obvious it ends. There's an ending here. And those of us that study the Bible know the Pharisees corrupted the truth so much that very few people in their day understood the truth, and most were totally unaware that Jesus was the Messiah. When Jesus came, he explained the truth to the people. The fact he opened up the Bible to them in ways the Pharisees could not or refused to believe confirms it was the time of reformation, and it was the most beautiful and perfect one ever. I mean, come on, Jesus Christ himself is the one preaching it. In fact, do you recall what Jesus said to Pilate when he asked him if he was a king? It's in John 18, verse 37. It says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." No one on this planet can deny that Jesus, that the truth Jesus shared 2,000 years ago, changed this world from that day forward. To this day, people still call him the most amazing teacher ever. Ever. In the history of mankind. To this day, it still affects the hearts of people all over the world. And for Paul to use the word reformation here is perfect in that it is defined as to make straight in the Greek. Strong's 1357, it means to make straight. It also means to restoring to its natural and normal condition. Pretty obvious. So you remember what John the Baptist's message, what it was? It says in Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3. It says this: "In those days..." Now keep in mind, we know this is until the Reformation. The feast days are until the Reformation. And we just found out that the Reformation meant to make straight. And we just found out that Jesus Christ is the one that did the Reformation. Now check out what John the Baptist says. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 3. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight." Or, we need a reformation. Let's do a reformation. And so, to echo Paul once again, he said, all the meat and the drinks and the diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them would be until the time of Reformation. I got to get a little closer to the mic because there's another, you know, monster driving by. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, that's loud. I got my window open because it's a nice day and I got, you know, fresh air in here and all that. But so again, meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them would be until the until the time of the Reformation. You know, just as I read a moment ago from Hebrews 9. And we know John the Baptist said Jesus came to the prophesied to begin the prophesied Reformation when he said he will make the people to make their paths, or he will make their paths straight too. So in short, in ending, in closing, the law contained in ordinances ended at the cross. The Ten Commandments remain to this day. That's why we keep Sabbath. Hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.